morning, everyone. This is one of those mornings where I've prepared and prepared and prepared, and I was up early this morning preparing, and on my drive home, I thought, oh my goodness, don't tell, no, I'm not going to use any of this stuff, but I am. I'll start with something a little different, but you know, let's just open with prayer. Lord, I thank you that for each person here this morning, I thank you that our hearts are ready to receive from you all that you have for each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that every word that is spoken will be from you and bless each one. And none of us will leave the way we came. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was praying this morning and as I was preparing, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, everyone values certain things in their life, whether it's a mate or whether it's maybe a home or whether it's money, whatever it might be, everyone has a value on certain things. And I have found or I have seen in many situations where our value is put on maybe what someone else has said or what we think someone else might be thinking. And I just thought, man, that happens so much, so often, that, well, you should have heard what these people said about me, or I mean, I just can't believe it. I mean, how do you deal with that? What am I going to do? What should I do to that? My answer would be nothing. Because what is the value in those words? Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report. These things think on. But the value that we put in God, the very first verse that comes up is Isaiah 26 and 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Move your eyes, move the ears of your heart to Jesus. Keep it on him. Keep it on what he's already done. The value that you put in someone's words or what someone thinks or feels or has said doesn't matter. That value is misplaced. The value that we have is in God, and because of him, we are the righteousness of God. He died on the cross for us, rose again to give us not only eternal life, but life abundantly. So that was free, anyways. That was just the opening here, and I was feeling on the way home that, you know, there's too many people putting value in what they're looking at or what they're seeing or what they've heard, when really the only thing that matters is him. So we'll get right into it here. 2 Peter 1:1-4, and I know a few weeks ago when I spoke on these two, but this is a little bit different. Same verses, but the approach is different. So Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now this is Peter. This is one of the disciples of Jesus. And you know, you could preach on that one verse for hours, I'm sure, just because to those who have obtained like precious faith, who would that possibly be? Jill went. That's us. Obtained like precious faith with us, with the disciples by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Now, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So many people, Christians included, are seeking after peace. You're praying for peace. You're asking for God's grace. And that's His ability, His power, on an unearned, undeserved basis. And you're seeking these things through prayer, through fasting, through following certain people around, going to conferences. And while all of this is good, the scripture says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We have got to know some things. We need to have some knowledge. How do we get that? God's word is His knowledge. It goes on to say in the next verse, where are we there? Is this the King James Version? New King James. Can you switch it to King James for a second? You can't do that, okay? So it says in the King James, according to His divine power. According to, which means in proportion to, or to the degree of. And that's what we know, according to that degree, according to the proportion of that. 2 Peter 1:3-4, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through again the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it's saying that the knowledge of God is the key to all these things. All things means all things. Even in the Greek, it means all things. Anything you need, anything we need, be it health, finances, joy, patience, understanding, all things. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. This is where a lot of Christians are today. And I'm not here to judge anybody, but many have found that they needed a Savior and they didn't want to go to hell. They didn't like the consequences. And they know that there are two options, so they prayed and wholeheartedly accept Jesus into their heart and are now just waiting to go and spend eternity with the Lord. And that's awesome. If that's all there was, thank you, Jesus, that we'll spend eternity in heaven. But as far as getting into the Word of God and finding out and unlocking this knowledge where you can actually take part in the divine nature of God in this life, not just in the one to come, not so much. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. This present world, not just the one to come, not just when we leave here, leave this earth, leave this earthly body, this present world. There is so much more. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. His word is not just a collection of stories written by different men chosen by God. I can remember growing up, and even before I accepted the Lord as an adult, I can remember thinking, yeah, that's a lot of different stories, but what? I mean, they're stories. What does it have to do with me? They're good stories. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And another translation says, "All scripture is God-breathed." This book is the manual for life. The Bible is the book, is the manual. The abundant life, God's word, is the greatest gift he has ever given us, except for Jesus dying on the cross and leaving his Holy Spirit with us. His word is the greatest gift he has given us. It is really that simple, getting into the word of God. I mean, getting into it and finding out what and how we are meant to live. Finding out who we really are through Jesus. Not this watered down person that human tradition or traditions of men and religious traditions would have us believe. You know, we're so used to, I mean, we've been raised from day one, from the day we're born until now, everything we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel is what we know. We think that's what it is. I feel pain. I don't have enough money. I'm depressed. But that's not who we are. That's not who we are at all when we've accepted Jesus into our life. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, it seems to me there should almost be no comma in there. It should be, "So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Why? Because it takes hearing and hearing and hearing to change what we've been raised hearing and hearing and hearing. 1 John 5:4 says, "So for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You know, what we don't know is making us sick, poor, depressed, anxious. What we don't know, as Hosea 4:6 says, is actually killing us. You know, electricity wasn't just invented in the 1800s. The laws that govern electricity have been around since God created the world. People just didn't know what those laws were and how they worked. So there was no electricity. The laws of aerodynamics, flying a plane, the same. Those laws have always been around. Air conditioning, which I know a little bit of. You know, I heard a story of a man who lived out in the sticks and didn't have air conditioning. He didn't have, all he had was a fireplace. That's what heated his house, and obviously had no air conditioning. But he'd made his way into the big city in Colorado and had gone to a church service there where there was several thousand people. And he was standing over on the side, and it started getting hot in there. It was the middle of summer, and it was extremely hot, and it was getting hot in the church. And he watched this man get up. He was near the front, and he walked all the way to the back, and he went over to the thermostat. And he turned it to cool, and he turned the thing down, and he said you could just hear this, whoom. Air conditioning kicked in, and he said within seconds, he was getting cool. He said, this was a hot place, and he said, it was starting to get cool. He said, I need one of those. So when the service was over, he went and he watched that guy where he went and sat down, and he tracked him down, and he said, where'd you guys get that thing on the wall? You know where I'm going with this. He said, well, I don't know, I guess we got it at Home Hardware or something. And he said, oh, thank you. And so the next time he was in town, he went to Home Hardware and he bought himself a thermostat. And he went and hooked it up on his wall, and he turned it all the way down, and he just waited. He thought, oh, man, this is going to be good. But we all know what happened. He didn't get cooled off because he didn't understand how things worked, how air conditioning worked. Likewise, we could be living in the divine nature of God in this life if we just understood the importance of God's Word. His Word is the condenser, the evaporator, and the blower of that air conditioning system. God's Word put in your heart is the single most important thing you can do for your spiritual growth, for your health, your life, literally all things. The Word of God, the knowledge of His Word, will 100% change your life. The old hymn, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory. Well, what about till then? Anybody interested in doing a little shouting and living before then? I am. We can be rejoicing and living and singing and shouting the victory right now. John 8, 31 and 32 said, then Jesus said to those Jews, you're really quick back there, who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, your word is truth. It's only the truth that you know that can set you free. If you don't know what the truth is, you can't be set free. You have to know what you are, who you are, through him. He was talking to people that believed in him. A lot of people know about God. I don't know if I've ever talked to anyone in all my years of being a Christian. Even when I rodeoed and did all those different things, I never shared with anyone who didn't believe there was a God. Many people know that there's a God, believe that there's a God, and know things about God, but don't know him. The only way to truly know him is through his word. I believe that in the same way that people become addicted to different things in this world, and when I say that, many people just think of a certain addiction or different addictions immediately. Alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever it might be. But I believe in the same way people become addicted to worldly lusts, that we can become addicted to the Word of God. And that will change not only yourself, but those around you. Luke 24 and 32 has a story. This is after Jesus rose from the dead, and two of his disciples were walking down the road to Emmaus, and they'd talked and walked for miles, and the disciples didn't know who it was. And after they got home and they sat down, Jesus made himself known to them and then was gone. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Did not our hearts burn within us? Because it was Jesus, it was his word, it was him. He is the word. Jeremiah 20 and 9. Jeremiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he'd had enough. He was telling people about God and saying what was going to happen, and people were making fun of him, and people were ridiculing him, and he said, enough, I'm not going to speak another word from God. I'm just not going to do it anymore. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. His word was in my heart like a burning fire. I believe that that's what you can become addicted to. The word of God, that power, that strength, that love, that knowing who Jesus is, knowing who you are in him. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. If we will read his word, study his word, the Holy Spirit will speak to you through it. He wrote it. He'll show you and teach you all things as you spend time with him. It's God's word. He has a plan for each one of us. Jeremiah 29 and 11, as you all know, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And the King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Do you know that you don't have to die of cancer? You don't have to die from sickness and disease. And as I'm saying this, you're saying, "Yeah, but I know people. My mom and dad both died, and I prayed for them." Things happen. They do. But that doesn't stop us believing what God has said. All the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus. If you would have told me where I'd be today and what I'd be doing, that I would have this family dynamic, I'd have laughed out loud at you. Yet here I am. This was a place growing up that I made fun of. Not this particular place, but people that came to these sort of places. I thought that the ways of the world, the drugs, the girls, the alcohol, the world was the way to live. And I was embarrassed for people like you, for people like me. I was embarrassed. This word, if we would stick our noses into it, if we would begin to read it and commit to read it, it will literally change our lives. Romans 12 and 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The result will be, or the result is, revelation of him, knowledge of him, and everything that pertains to life and godliness comes through his word and allows us to partake in the divine nature of a God and escape the corruption that is in this world. Going back to 2 Peter 1, 1 to 4. Those verses we started with come to life in us. And we change. And when we talk about change, most people think it's traumatic. There's even books written that will say some of the biggest problems you'll have in life will be related to going through change. Whether it's going through changes in your physical body, maybe kids leaving home, change in your marital status, people just talk about change as being a traumatic thing. But if you do it God's way, it's like a seed. You've never seen a seed planted like an apple seed. You just plant it, then this tree grows up, and you've never seen that tree just shake and groan and oh, and out comes an apple. No, it's just the nature of that seed to produce other apples. It's the nature of the Word of God to help you escape the corruption that's in the world and partake of the divine nature of God. This is why God gave us the word. This is an uncorruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." This is an uncorruptible seed. It's the seed of God's word, and it produces his life on the inside of each one of us. But it's only the seed that's planted in your heart that's going to grow. You can have your Bible by your bed, on your nightstand, or on your coffee table, right in the living room where everyone can see it. And guess what? It will never set you free. The Bible is just a book unless you take it and read it and make it come alive. John 6:63 says, we'll be up there. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. God's word is a spiritual, live thing. Hebrews 4:12. Kind of slow. Says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living. You have to get it off the pages and in your heart. But I will promise you that if you will take the seed of God's word and plant it in your heart and protect it, not let someone come and steal it away or the cares of the life of this life choke it out, and if you put God's word number one in your life, it will just change you. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God's word will produce health in your flesh. The word of God will make you rich. The word of God will give you peace. The word of God has everything that God is and all things that he has provided for us in seed form. Did you catch that? It's in seed form. We have to get that off the pages and into our hearts so it can grow, so it can multiply. And all you have to do is, through the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, read it with your heart and let the Holy Spirit make those words come alive on the inside of you, and you will just begin to start changing almost unnoticeably, but you will change. I know it sounds almost too good to be true, but I'm telling you it's absolutely true. But just because it's simple does not mean it's easy. The hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is turn away from all the knowledge of this world, which is completely contrary to the knowledge of his word. Where you get to, where you just stand on the word, people will ridicule you, make fun of you, call you all kinds of names for it, be embarrassed to be around you. Please, they'll think, don't say something religious. Please don't speak something that you heard at church. Please don't speak something out of the word. They'll think many unpopular things about you because you aren't part of the cool crowd. You don't act the way the world does. But I can say, in closing, I would say that if you will commit to the word, it will 100% guaranteed, I will stake my life on it, change you and make you partakers of the divine nature of God. Every word in the Bible is for us, and we can see us in it. It can change you. It will take you from being that person that had to have some acceptance from the world. And it will make you proud to stand up and say, I live for Jesus. Because everything I am, everything I have, everything I do is for him and through him to glorify him. And I say in my testimony, when I share that, you know, I've tried everything. But I can honestly say that he is everything I've ever needed or ever will need. He is definitely the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And he is the answer to all our problems, all our earthly woes. He is the answer. He can change everything in a heartbeat. Kirk will laugh because I don't have a very good snapper. It sort of slides, doesn't really click. Are you here thinking, you don't know what I'm living with right now? You don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but I know Jesus. And I know for a fact that he can fix it, that he can straighten it out. Because as the very first, in Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you want to do that. That is the very first place to start. You know, if I was in here and I didn't know Jesus, the first thing I would do would get to know Jesus, would be to accept him. Because there's no time like right now. So, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him with every head bowed and eyes closed, as we pray this prayer for salvation, do you want to quickly slide your hand up so that we can pray for you? Not out in public, but just so I can come and talk to you afterwards. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you that you rose again and that you are in heaven preparing a place for me. I accept your free gift of eternal life. And I walk now with you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen.